The January 26, 2019 session of TeamSpeak for HPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I did work on some programming, but I also reorganized my desk. I had cables that I couldn't figure out where they went, so cleaned out everything and put it all back together, and everything works better. But I didn't get as much programming done. So that's it for me. Next on the list, we have Henry PA0HJA, shown as recording in a way. Then we have Mike AAAK, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to teamspeakarchive.openhpsdr.org. Then we have Phil VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all. This week, further work on the FPGA code required for envelope tracking and envelope elimination restoration amplifiers. And Warren very kindly added a new feature we required where we can independently set the amplitude of the envelope signal. And that's working fine now. Thanks very much indeed, Warren. Got the code written. I'm just, in fact, compiling at the moment to hopefully get the time enclosure done, but even without time enclosure, it's working okay. So that's good news. So I'll be doing a little bit of work on that during the week. Also, giving a little bit of help to Abby on some of the production code. One of the chips we've been using is been superseded by the same part, but with a slightly different. Different part number, but exactly the same function, but needs a little bit of tweaking to make it work, but hopefully that's done okay. So enjoying the beautiful weather down here and finding a little bit of time to do some antenna work, which is nice. That's the news from down under. Back to you, Doug.
Well, fine business. Next on the list, we have Warren in NR0V. Go ahead, Warren, and welcome back.
Thanks, Dave, and good day to everyone. And I've been a little bit scarce here lately, for which I apologize, but that's been for a combination of reasons. As I may have mentioned on here, my wife and I are pretty busy planning and beginning to get started on construction on a new home here in a new location in the U.S., and that's been pretty time-consuming. And then I have to confess, I did take out a couple weeks, as I usually do around Christmas and New Year's, and spend them in Mexico. And that was quite refreshing and a nice break from the winter weather. And but I didn't do much radio work during that time. In terms of radio activity, over the past week, I have done a little bit, two or three things. One is what Phil mentioned, which was not a huge activity, but glad to support the EER and EDR activity, which I will continue to support. A second was to work on a couple Thetis bugs, and I think before very long, within a few days, we'll have a new beta release of Thetis that will include several fixes, enhancements, as well as the integrated Vox downward expander code that I wrote back before Christmas. So I think that'll be out within a few days here. And then the third thing was I updated the WDSP guide that I have on GitHub with the new Vox downward expander feature. So in a sense, the documentation for once is a little bit ahead of the code. The code will be out when we release Thetis. So those are probably the primary things. You know, I think I'm in a fairly stable situation here now as far as having a bit of time to work on radio activities. And so we'll see how things develop, and I'll try to make some further contributions here over the next few weeks. So that's about it. Back to you, Dave.
Well, that sounds wonderful, Warren, and look forward to hearing more from you. Next on the list is Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, David. Yeah, nothing here to report. Pretty much underwater with work all week. Phil, I got to ask, was your comment on the weather there sarcastic? I just caught the tail end of something on the national news here tonight about Australia having a hottest summer in record or some really bad wildfires as well, but I didn't catch which part of Australia they were talking about. So wonder if that's affecting you, and I'll turn it back to Dave.
Well, and then two more on the list. We have Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording in a way, and then we have Greg, ZL3IX, that slipped in after I started. So now we're open for general discussion.
Hi, Bill. No, yes, eastern states are having some horrendous, I think Adelaide had the hottest day ever recorded, I think. But no, it's been absolutely delightful here. So normally we get the hot weather, then it drifts over to the eastern states. But this year, for whatever reason, it's been very pleasant here.
No, okay. Yeah, that was the phrase they used as hottest on record. So, well, glad to hear you're avoiding the worst of it.
Phil, I have a question that some of our listeners might be interested in. Is there a recommended schematic for these ERR amplifiers? Or I remember we had the paper from the German magazine a few years ago. Is that the kind of amp that they're using for testing the connections?
Yes, that's right. It's called either Class E or Class EF, and there's quite a lot of ongoing development in that area. But in order to make it work, we need to provide some signals, a carrier, RF carrier, and the envelope of the SSB signal, and they need to be in a specific phase relationship. One of the major issues is that we use a pulse width modulator to provide the envelope signal. And the issue here is that's very efficient because you're switching a FET on and off, so heat dissipation is extremely low. But the signal passes through a low-pass filter in order to remove the PWM frequency. But there is a delay in the signal passing through the filter. So without any correction, your envelope does not match up in time with the RF signal being generated. So Warren applied his magic, and there's now the ability to delay either the envelope signal or the RF signal, depending on what's required, such that they can be aligned. And you can do that, I think, in 0.01 microsecond steps, which is remarkable. It's very interesting to look this on the scope and actually see the delay in power SDR, how the two signals will align. But there's also a lot of work being done in choosing which FETs are used. There's a new class of FET camp, which I think is going to be available in April, which has multiple source connections, i.e. pins, and also separate input connections for the gate and source. So there's basically two sets of source pins, one for taking the high current through from the drain, and the other taking the drive signal that comes from the gate and the source. And that's going to have a pretty profound effect on how well these amplifiers work. So the technology for Class E and Class EF amplifiers has been around for many years, but really, since we've transitioned into SDR, and we've now got the capability of very simply creating the envelope signal by taking the square root of the I squared plus Q squared signal and creating the phase modulated carrier from the I and Q signal, which I think arctan Q over I or I over Q, I can't remember which way around it is, but one of the two. They're very relatively simple to generate, and with Warren's magic of being able to vary the time delay between those two signals, it becomes practical to build these amplifiers. But still a way to go, but the initial results that are being achieved are, in terms of the efficiency is absolutely spectacular. So that's the update, Dave.
Very good. Thanks for that.
Warren, it was interesting, Rudy's screenshot showing how pure signal was correcting for the ringing in the drain lead of the FET. When I flicked that and said this is for Warren, I wasn't in suggesting that was for you to analyze. I was just amazed at how pure signal was actually able to correct for that problem.
Well, it's it's, you know, fairly simple in a way, Phil, because all it does, it just looks at the samples that it gets back and creates a least squares fit of the best solution curve, and, you know, does the best it can given the variation of the samples that come back. So, yeah, it is quite interesting, though, and as we look at these type of amplifiers, we do see some different characteristics than we're accustomed to in the amplifier behavior and consequently in the correction curves.
Yes, yeah, it's interesting. And the data sheet that really showed us with that new FET, having all the having different pins for the two source connections, I thought was fascinating. It's interesting that the industry is actually addressing those issues by providing devices that hopefully will overcome those problems.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, Rüdiger just does a fabulous job of taking these new hardware technologies and, you know, putting them in place and getting the optimum result from them. So I think, it's a very exciting time for this type of technology.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I'm really, really pleased that I can be involved and provide a bit of assistance. And it's been a lot of fun generating these signals in the FPGA, and providing the fine grain adjustment to the amplitude and phases that they need. So, the end result, the results they're getting now are absolutely amazing. But with the new devices coming out in a few months' time, I think it's going to be absolutely spectacular.
Yes, I tend to agree. It's like I said, it's a very exciting time, and I'm really looking forward to the results here over the next few months.
Does EER get used in the commercial world?
Yes. I gather it's mainly, well, I'm not sure if it is today, but certainly there's a lot of development in the late 70s, early 80s for using it in satellite transponders.
I wonder, would you ever see such a thing in a cell phone handset, or... or those not need linear amplifiers?
I gather that most, certainly the papers I've been reading, most cell phones use Class E PA stages.
Okay.
Any update on your ESP8266 work, Bill?
No, it's been sidelined with, it's been a really bad week at work, so actually... got out of there. Earliest I got out of there this week was 6 o'clock, which was tonight, and had a couple nights in there till a little after nine, trying to get stuff going. Funny thing happened. They started doing scale testing, but nobody told us, and we ran into a few issues that took us a while to run down.
Oh, sorry about that, Bill. Hope you managed to resolve that okay.
Yeah, it was, man. Good learning. The funny thing that happened is there's a quota on the amount of log data we can get in a day and search it. And I came in the other morning and, 8 o'clock in the morning, couldn't search any of the logs for any recent data, and was like, what the hell happened? And it turns out the amount of data we're logging per request is just totally ridiculous. So, but it sort of, the side effect of that is it all goes to hell. You can't really see anything, so you're sort of flying blind.
Yes, I understand.